Thou shalt not make giant hassles out of normal teenage problems. If you're hot and heavy on a kid's case about everything, he or she develops the why try attitude. A teen begins to feel that they will get it no matter what they do, and they'll stop trying. As Christian parents, we are not without spiritual resources to support our sons and daughters. I would like to suggest to you, as a parent, that you do four things for your children. First of all, pray. We are given the powerful weapon of intercessory prayer, which must never be underestimated. The Scriptures teach that we can pray effectively for one another, and that such a petition availeth much. You know that you should pray, but you're not sure how to pray. Let me suggest that you pray for your teen's eyes to be opened, to the deceptions going on around them, to the self-centeredness of their friends, to what they are doing to their families, to their sin against their God, to what they are sacrificing to the wrong crowd and the gods of pleasure, and to the saving and forgiving nature of Jesus Christ. Pray that God will put someone in your teen's life who can win their friendship and offer them new direction, help that they will receive. Pray that you will not compromise your own values so that your teen will continue believing in your integrity. God's answer to our requests will not remove the freedom of choice from our children, but He will grant them clarity and understanding in charting their own courses. They will be given every opportunity to make the right decisions regarding matters of eternal significance. So keep your children in your prayers. Pray for them in confidence, not in regret. The past is the past. You cannot undo your mistakes. You could no more be a perfect parent than you could be a perfect human being. Our first and greatest spiritual resource is prayer. A second thing that you can do as a parent is to raise your children consistent with the real world. Continue to demand that your children act like they will have to act to be successful in future relationships. Future employers, future co-workers, future families, future neighbors, and God Himself will not put up with rudeness, disloyalty, tantrums, refusing to follow instructions and fudging on the rules, selfishness, dishonesty, irresponsibility, chemical abuse, or refusing to listen. If you allow these things to continue in the life of your teen, you are helping them prepare to fail and be rejected throughout their lives. The best thing that you can do for your teen is to not allow this type of behavior. Remember, no one else in life will put up with this kind of behavior. Think for a moment about the word misbehave. The word contains two ideas, misbeing and mishaving. Since we all want our teens to turn out right and have the best that life has to offer, then we must raise them consistent with the real world and help them not to misbehave. That is, mishaving God's best and misbeing what God wants them to be. Buddy Scott, in his book, Relief for Hurting Parents, suggests that we practice the seven commandments for the parents of teens. The first commandment is thou shalt monitor your own attitudes and actions towards your teen by always asking, will this heal? I would like each parent to apply this question, will this heal, to your own life? Will wallowing in guilt heal? Will self-hatred heal? Will putting yourself down heal? Will blaming yourself and others heal? Will worrying yourself sick heal? Will closing yourself off from the world heal? Will contemplating suicide heal? Will losing your marriage over your teen's problem heal? Then we need to notice what will heal. Read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And there we learn that receiving God's forgiveness and trusting His competency to completely forgive will heal. We need to forget those things that are behind, the mistakes of the yesteryears, and focus on the present and the future. We need to meditate upon whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. We also need to learn to pray and not faint. And then we need to learn to trust God and to relax in that trust. And if you need to, get yourself some help. Then, not only apply this principle to yourself, but also in your attitude and actions toward your teen. The second commandment for the parent is thou shalt discipline rather than punish. Punishment has to do with getting even. I'll get you for this. Discipline has to do with turning the teen away from impending danger and involves the idea of love. The third commandment for the parent is this: thou shalt not discipline for immaturity as you would for defiance. As parents, we must remember our teens are still children and not adults. Accidents will happen, they will forget, and they will lose things. These behaviors should not be disciplined to the same degree that you would discipline defiance and deliberate rebellion. Buddy Scott suggests a fourth commandment for the parent: thou shalt not make giant hassles out of normal teenage problems. Sometimes parents label children as prodigals because the parent does not understand the normal process of growing up and becoming an adult. Much of your teen's behavior is probably normal behavior for a person going through adolescence. Here's a partial listing of normal teenage problems: not wanting to do chores for the family, putting off those chores, forgetting to weed whack one side of the house, maintaining an unkempt room, putting off homework, not wanting to go to bed and spending too much time in front of the television, staying on the phone forever and ever and ever, hating to get out of bed or forgetting to brush their teeth, making an occasional bad grade or having an occasional run-in with a teacher, leaving candy and gum wrappers in your car, and failing to maintain your car properly, getting a traffic ticket, or hating things that they loved yesterday, or spending money carelessly, or holding the refrigerator door open while deciding what to eat, and always being unsatisfied with what the parents are providing. And then, obviously, each teen goes through a stage when they're ashamed of their parents and when they tease and fight with their brothers and sisters. Understanding that these are normal kinds of problems will help you react more reasonably. Of course, you have to discipline your teen and help them to grow beyond these problems, but it's out of order to use the same fervency of discipline as you would for such things as staying out past curfew or running away from home, skipping school, failing classes, taking or selling drugs, drinking alcohol, or running with a bad crowd, or shoplifting, or exhibiting an ugly attitude. If you're hot and heavy on a kid's case about everything, he or she develops the "why try" attitude. A teen begins to feel that they will get it no matter what they do, and they'll stop trying. Be more friendly when dealing with the normal teenage problems. Buddy Scott then suggests a fifth commandment for parents: thou shalt remember thine own struggles as a teen and be reasonably patient with your teen. In the old television show Leave It to Beaver, we see a good example of this principle. On almost every show, they portrayed Ward Cleaver as having a great relationship with his boys because he never forgot what it was like to be a kid. May we as parents never forget the struggles that we had when we were young, as it will help us to relate to our own teens' struggles. A sixth commandment for the parent would be this: thou shalt build your teens' self-concepts by genuinely appreciating their good attitudes and actions. In order to hold their heads high and feel proud of themselves, young people need to be known for something. Not all students can be homecoming queen, the prettiest, the most popular, the most likely to succeed, or the most intelligent. Each teen does have a talent or an ability that will help them stand out in a positive way, and we as parents need to help every one of our teens find that ability. If we don't help them stand out in a positive way, they will find a way to stand out in a negative way by acting up at school, running with the wrong crowd, or some other negative behavior to attract attention. Also, parents, teach your children that no one is good at everything. A seventh commandment for parents is this: thou shalt not put down your teen's unique style of personality. The story of Saul, David, and Jonathan is a story of the misplaced expectations of a parent. Saul was king of Israel and the leader of the armies of Israel. David, a young shepherd boy, killed the champion of the Philistine army, of whom Saul and the men in the army of Israel were afraid. Eventually, David's success on the battlefield made Saul angry, not simply because David was threatening his hold on the throne, but because Saul's son, Jonathan, was not measuring up to David. He didn't seem to be kingly material. To complicate matters, Jonathan and David were best friends, and Jonathan wasn't interested in fighting David. At this point, Saul, like many fathers, was struggling. He could not forgive Jonathan for not being David, and he hated David for not being the son of his dreams. Saul spent years trying to kill his son's best friend. We must remember that children are not pliable pieces of clay that parents can mold any way we want. Chuck Swindoll said, Proverbs 22:6 could be translated, train up a child according to his or her bent. The root word has to do with the bent of a tree. As a tree is bent in a certain way, and to try to bend it in another would break it, so it is with our children. We need to realize that our children are each born with different temperaments and personality types. A wise parent will discover the bent of his children and train them that way, not the way the father or the mother wants. Parents who want their child to turn out the way they want are taking the cookie-cutter approach to parenting. If you'll examine the cookie-cutter closely, you'll see it's the same shape as the one wielding it. There's a lot of arrogance at the root of this attitude. Wouldn't the world be better if others were made in my shape? Parents, we need to practice these seven commandments for the parents of teens.